This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pleasure right now to welcome our good friend to the show. He joins us every Friday. He's brought to you by HornSolutions.net, the General, John McClain. What's happening, John?
Am I still supposed to not talk about the roast?
About
the roast that's not finalized?
The upcoming? I don't know what the protocol is on that.
Can't we promote that at some point we're going to be announcing maybe the greatest football roast in Houston history?
Yeah.
I think we could have a little fun with it without a formal announcement.
I want the
listeners
to be ready because Ryan McCreadon has been working on it ferociously.
I hear it's going to be a Hall of Fame level event.
I hear it's going to be a lot of Hall of multiple Hall of Fame level. And I have
a
feeling it's going to be a football multiple Hall of Fame level, something unprecedented in the history of Houston.
On
by Sports Radio 610, you know, that does an annual roast.
Yeah. And
even though the greatest of all was the first one, I still think this one has a chance.
who might be second. Who was the roastee at the first one, John?
I forget it.
I'm the only one at this table
I'm
who hasn't.
I'm pointing at him.
I'm the only one at this table who hasn't sat in that big chair.
Believe me. Be careful what you wish for.
You don't want to be
that's
in that
not
chair.
A wish. That's not a wish. It's a brag.
Well, I'll say this. Ryan McCreadon has been working behind the scenes now for weeks on, I don't know what the delay is, on putting together this monster roast that all listeners are going to want to attend. I've told a bunch of my friends about it, even though it's not official. And every one of them wants to come.
I believe the target date is late June.
Let me see if I was guessing a date. Somewhere between the 30th and 20th, maybe more people are off. So maybe right in the middle
split
of the
20th.
Right in between June 30th and July 20th?
We're
split the
difference.
How about June 25th?
Between June 20th and June 30th. I got you.
Well,
right in between.
In fact, let's just tell Ryan right now, make it happen. We've decided,
you know,
June 25th.
Okay.
Gavin Spittle started that tradition here on Sports Radio 610, and we've had some great events that have raised money for a lot of great causes and, of course, had tons of laughs over these roasts. And Ryan has picked up the mantle and done a really good job himself. So it's a cool thing.
It's been great.
I'll never forget when Bum Phillips was there. Wade had just been fired by the Cowboys. He had nothing else to do. So Wade got in late. Bum, Pastorini, and all his buddies from the Oilers were sitting at a table down front. And then Wade comes down the stairs. It's just about full. They're getting ready to start. People start clapping. And then I can't remember. I was there right in the middle of it. If everybody stood or just gave this great ovation.
Well, Dan Pastorini made sure.
Wade's looking around to see who's there that everybody's clapping for. And everybody's clapping for Wade, who's just been fired by the Cowboys. And I went down to him and I said, I bet you're going to end up being the next defensive coordinator of the Texans.
What did he say?
He said, I hope.
Yeah, Dan Pastorini got up at the podium and basically said, Mr. McNair, if you're listening, pointed at Wade and said, hire this man.
Well, the truth is, Bob had wanted him hired before, but he doesn't make his coaches do stuff. When Gary Kubiak was firing Richard Smith, and he wanted to promote Frank Bush, who he'd brought in here wanting to hire Frank originally, but Dennis Green wouldn't let him out of his contract, even though it was a promotion. Wade, Greg Williams, there were several available. I remember Bob talked to Gary. You sure you don't want to check out one of those guys? No, sir. I really like Frank Bush. Think he's going to do a good job. I thought Frank was going to do a good job. Now, in fairness to him, he didn't have the players. You know, Rick Smith got Daniel Manning, Jonathan Joseph, and Connor Barwin. Guy named Watt. Wade had a lot of players Frank didn't have. But, of course, Wade's one of the all-time great in NFL history.
Yeah.
John, my favorite moment from the Bum Phillips roast if you remember, Gavin, of course, was still our PD then, and he had hired as one of the roasters a guy who's a good guy, local guy who dabbles in both stand-up and sports talk named John Wessling. And John, you know, rightly so, was under the impression this is a roast, and at roasts...
And I'm a comedian, yeah.
I'm a comedian, right. And at roasts... Things can get
a little... You rip the hell out of people.
Yeah, you rip them.
Especially if you're a comedian, you can't go soft.
So John started making, if my memory serves me correctly, which it often doesn't, but I think I'm right on this, he made a few fat and dumb jokes about Bum.
Well, he... Oh, did he? I know he made a joke about Wade living at home.
Well, the stuff he was...
With his parents.
The look on Wade's face was like, I'm looking at Wade going, Wade, it's a roast. This is how it goes. I think Wade wanted to punch him.
I was last year and went to Port Arthur. Bob West, former sports editor of the Port Arthur News, had a roast for Wade. Watt was there. I was honored to be there. Jimmy Johnson, Wade's son, Wes. And they had like 1,500 people at the Port Arthur Convention Center. It was packed. And Wade was, I'm sorry, not last year, when they were coming off the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And you talk about fun. It was so much fun, and I think they'd already done Jimmy Johnson because there was a lot of people coming from the Golden Triangle.
Sure.
And I was amazed at how funny Wes Phillips was, and I said, how come you're not this funny during the season? He said, are you kidding? They don't even let me talk. And Wade, of course, ate it all up.
Yeah. The irony, he just mentioned coming off the Super Bowl, the irony in the story you just told, John, a couple minutes ago about Gary being presented these different potential defensive coordinators, is that when Gary finally goes and wins a Super Bowl, Wade Phillips is his defensive coordinator.
You know, Wade sat out a year. Wade sat two times in his career, 1 year each, where he sat out. And now a lot of people are going to be picking him to go to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah,
true.
Because they've loaded up on the Rams' defense, and I know he's really excited about it. You know, he can coach Aqib Talib. He did it in Denver. Marcus Peters in the last year of his contract. Wade's going to get the very best out of him. And who else did they just sign?
They signed Ndamukong Suh.
Ndamukong Suh, yep. To go with Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
So they're loaded. There's a lot expected, and Wade loves that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're certainly among the favorites over there in the NFC.
I mean, really, who would you pick besides them? I wouldn't pick Philadelphia. They came out of nowhere.
Minnesota,
yeah, maybe, but he's never won a playoff game.
Yeah, well, but
neither Sean McVay, Jared Goff.
They lost to Atlanta this year. Right?
I'm just talking about favorite. I think the majority are going to go with the Rams.
Okay, that'll be interesting.
I'll tell
to
you
see.
Who I'm going with.
Who?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, is that who you're going to wind up picking?
Probably.
Oh, you picked Philadelphia last year. They should feel great about you picking them.
give me 10, 20 seconds on why you actually – is that a serious – No, you're not. Wait a minute. What am I doing? You're the one who wrote the column today going game by game, and it was completely tongue-in-cheek.
I am 10-6. I wasn't tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I think some of your predictions for the specifics of the game.
Some of the twists and turns were tongue-in-cheek.
I believe I had picked the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl last year, and Greg Rajan from one of our senior editors called and says, hey, Ezekiel Elliott just got suspended 6 games. Do you want to stick with the Cowboys? And I said, no. And I said, who's everybody else picking? The Giants, coupled with the Redskins. I said, anybody pick the Eagles? No. I said, put me down for the Eagles. That's how much scientific data went into it.
Amen.
John,
I'm going to do that again.
Well, John, I feel like the way the draft goes some years, that an NFL team should just send somebody in to just hand me a chart with what rounds you have a bunch of guys in and just – close your eyes and point at a name. You do better sometimes, I think, than how some of these teams do in the draft. Speaking of the draft, we'll get to Brian Gain in the next segment, but your initial thoughts on the schedule that came out yesterday for the Texans, you know, on a scale of difficulty, how do you feel it kind of lays out for them?
Well, they got one of the easiest schedules in the league, and they played 5 teams that went to the playoffs, and 2 of them are in the division, Jacksonville, Tennessee. You know, you got Beyonce and Jay-Z here the second weekend, and they're like the rodeo. That's an elaborate production, takes up a lot of time. So they're on the road those first 2, and they almost beat both those teams on the road last year.
Mm-hmm.
You, the defense blew the game in New England. And then remember Tennessee, Tom Savage is throwing to, I don't remember if it was to go ahead or to win. He was intercepted in the end zone. So,
and Derrick Henry had that touchdown that made the final score
look
afterward,
a lot worse than
it was. Yeah.
And I think that they've got New England's respect. And I think considering Watson scored, 57 against the Titans here?
Yeah.
They could win that game. I like the three primetime games here.
Yes.
I like the three-game stretch here. And I like the last game get here against Jacksonville because it could be for the division.
Do you like the fact that it's like last year when they played the three division games on the road after the three at home? You know, this year they're done on the road in the division by week
seven. Games,
yep. Yeah.
Last year it was the last three all in December. Yeah, might as well get them out of the way.
I think it's advantageous.
I do too.
Because last year I remember, were they all the last? Let's see, Jacksonville was colder than normal. Had nothing to do with Bortles just torching them.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee, I don't remember. It was too bad. So I don't think it matters. But getting the road games out of the way early, I think that's good. That's five of the first seven on the road?
Yeah.
I think
speaking of early road games, I'm guessing you're going to agree with us that it's better to go to New England early than late. I like the fact that they're opening
in
New
England. Yeah, like they did 2 years ago when they got beat 27-0.
Well.
Get it out of the way.
That's right.
Like a Band-Aid. Just rip it right off.
They better
off.
Hope
John
Andrew
did
Luck's
call it
back.
The annual loss at Gillette Stadium in his piece
They better
today.
Hope that Luck is back because they do not want to go against Jacoby Brissett again.
Yeah. John, any other thoughts on the schedule? Just from a league standpoint, you know, the league reportedly tried to beef up the Thursday schedule with
they
Fox
got
spending
million
a lot of
more dollars.
Yeah.
They should have.
How do you think they did?
I like the fact they were sensitive to some travel. Yeah. I wish they'd add another bye week, play the Super Bowl later, and anybody playing a Thursday game got a bye going. Didn't have to play the week before and the week after. Give them both off. And that could be pulled off pretty easily. The players complain about it all the time. I'm guessing they still will. So much depends on injuries. And I love the fact that they're going to flex more games. I've always thought teams fly charters, and if they have to wait a day, they can afford it. If they have to book a hotel room another day, they can afford that as well. Teams line up to house them and then flex them, get better ratings, and then you get more money. That's what it's all about.
Which Texans game is most likely to be flexed in your mind,
I'm guessing that Jacksonville game.
That last game of the year?
Yeah, that's going to be for home field. That'd be for the AFC South title, the wild card berth.
Be home field for one of those teams.
How little respect did the Jaguars get?
Rich brought that up earlier.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Only one guaranteed primetime game, and it's the obligatory Thursday night game.
John, I said to Rich earlier, if you're looking for a referendum, if you're Jacksonville, you sign Blake Bortles to this three-year, $54 million extension, and everybody's panning you for it, and you're defending it if you're Jacksonville. All the referendum you need on that signing came from how the league – because that's why they're so undesirable. It's not the small market. It's people don't believe in the quarterback.
I hate the us against the world mottos, but this is a good one.
Yeah.
It is. And I mentioned earlier, John, New England and Philadelphia, 5. Minnesota, 4 primetime games. So those were the final four in the NFL last year. Jacksonville gets 1.
San Francisco, 5.
San Francisco, yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo, sexier than Blake Bortles.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yep. I like him
a
lot.
Good-looking man.
Yeah.
Bortles you meant football
a pretty good-looking man.
No, I didn't mean sexy. I mean in a figurative sense, John. Got a nice ass, you know. All right.
I've been doing this for 20 years in scouting and in personnel. I've had the opportunity to be a general scout. I've done pro scouting, I've done college scouting. I've been a director, I've been an assistant general manager. I've had great partners, great mentors, great people to learn from. At some point, you do have to trust your training and you do have to trust your instinct. But also, it goes back to preparation. Preparation will lead to best execution.
That was one of my favorite answers that Brian Gain had today at his press conference, just because I love the way he started it. I don't know that it was in the cut, but it was something like, with all humility or something like that, because it was basically asking him, you know, why you? You know, that sort of thing. And I said this earlier, John, to Rich, and John McClain is joining Rich and I here for his weekly visit brought to you by hornsolutions.net, is that there's not just one way to become a GM. We know that. Rick Smith had his background before he became a GM. John Lynch wasn't anything in a front office. He was a broadcaster, yeah. And he's done a pretty good job in San Francisco so far. So there's a bunch of ways to become an effective general manager, or a bunch of paths to being an effective general manager in the NFL. But I feel like in this specific offseason, and hopefully this is one of many offseasons Brian Gain will be a successful general manager of the Texans, but with not drafting until the third round, like for a guy with the background that Brian Gain just described in describing himself, this coming up next week, starting next Friday, is his time to shine. This is a draft scenario being handed to him that is made to be solved by somebody who has a deep, deeply rooted scouting background, is it not?
Yes. Brian Gutekunst of Green Bay, who came in to interview, went to dinner with Bill O'Brien, and then they called him and said, you know, before he interviewed the next day with McNair's, we're offering you the job, kind of a drop-dead offer, so of course he took it.
The Packers offered Gutekunst, yes.
And Bob McNair told me, he said, I like the fact that Brian Gain has been different organizations, worked with different general managers, different coaches, different owners, as opposed to somebody who knows only one way. And who there's no one path to being a successful general manager. This draft coming up, we're not going to know about it for 3 years. It's like the 49ers are off to a great start, but things can happen. Just like last year, the draft, Rick Smith's last draft, trading up for Deshaun Watson, taking Zach Cunningham, Deontay Foreman, Julian Davenport, signing Dylan Cole. Mm-hmm. That could turn out to be a really good one, but injuries could – a lot of things can change. And this is the first time they've never had the number one pick. It's like I wrote for tomorrow. It's like he's going in with a left hand tied behind his back. Mike Olivak, who was a longtime NFL personnel man and general manager, especially with the Oilers, told me multiple times, anybody can pick early. It's what you do in the middle and late rounds and undrafted free agents that sets the good personnel guys apart from the other ones. And that's something only time will tell.
Yeah.
And we don't know if he's going to trade up. He doesn't know if he's going to trade up or down. And he would like to have as many picks as he can get. But he'll trade up if he thinks there's somebody near the bottom of the second round that they have to have.
Well, here is Brian Gain. Funny you bring that up, John. Here is his philosophy on draft day trading.
Historically, I would much prefer to go down than I ever would to go up to get more at-bats, to accumulate more good players. But on a case-by-case basis, if we're honoring the draft board and we see a player that potentially might be slipping down the draft board and we have the opportunity to go get him and be aggressive, we'll measure that as well.
His predecessor, I think it's funny that that's the answer. You know, I'd rather go down in the draft than go up. The times that Rick Smith traded up, generally speaking,
he only
did it once. Well, I'm saying within a draft. Like, you know, he moved up to get Lewis Nix, and he moved up to get.
I mean, the first round.
Get it. But here's what I was going to say: is Rick Smith did it inside of the draft a few times. You like when I say inside of the draft, I'm talking like in those, you know, the middle rounds, the meaty part of the draft. There, where he moved up to get Jalen Strong, I think he moved up to get Bernardrick McKinney, he moved up to get Lewis Nix, Brandon Harris, like mixed results. The one time he really took a big swing, Rick Smith, it might wind up being the most important trade that the franchise has ever made at the end of the day, you know, depending on how it plays out with Deshaun Watson.
And I never thought there was any way he'd do that because he'd never done it. I was shocked when he did it. And I think everybody was. And what I was told is Rick used to have everybody in the draft room. And he told people what he's going to do. Nobody said don't do it. And when he sat down, Bill O'Brien said, hey, go for it. And they did, and they hit right now, not just a home run, but a grand slam.
Yep.
I was asked on a radio station, I'm not going to say it to keep from embarrassing them, the two hosts, and one said, is there any fallback on the Texans making that trade last year? I said, for what, Osweiler? No, the Watson trade.
Oh, boy.
And I didn't say anything, and his host just ripped him to pieces.
His co-host did?
Yeah, why would you ask something stupid like that? And I wanted to go, amen, but I didn't. I just sat there, and then I said, even Osweiler, this was before free agency. So, like, right now, number one pick is Watson. Number two pick could be Tyrann Mathieu. They spent seven of that $10 million they got for Osweiler to sign him. You could trot them out for your one and two picks, but I thought I've not heard that from anybody in Houston. Why would you ask me something that's stupid? But I was very polite.
Yeah.
Well, that's very Texas of you, John, to be a very
that
polite.
That was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Well, I was saying to John, we haven't had one of those in a while.
Yeah, people are really upset that they gave, they don't have their number one pick. And really, they swapped ones last year. They got Deshaun Watson for basically one number one pick.
John, I said this to Rich earlier in the show. Just that I have fun doing this. I don't know if it's fun for other people. Just to imagine certain scenarios playing out differently in hindsight and pretend for a second that if Brock Osweiler, in the 1 year that he was here, was average, not abjectly terrible like he was, but just average, there's a chance he still might be their starting quarterback, right?
Now, he and Bill, they he would never have stayed.
Okay.
Because I think he and O'Brien, just from the get-go, as much as O'Brien, as he pointed out, likes to sit and talk to a quarterback for hours about football and watch tape, that never worked out.
That wasn't Brock's cup of tea.
And it is with Watson, and Watson, I think, really enjoys doing that. Learning, he actually wants to learn about the game and doesn't act like he already knows it all.
John, we've spent some of this offseason speculating about the next contracts for J.D. Clowney and Bernhardrick McKinney. And today we got a little more clarification, I suppose, from Brian Gain that the policy that was in place under Rick Smith will continue under Brian Gain, and that once September 9th rolls around and the season gets underway, they're not going to do any contract negotiations in season.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that and why they insist on that, especially with it feels like plenty of other organizations don't restrict themselves in that way?
See, I think most do restrict themselves
really?
In that way. Yeah.
Did you say you like it or you don't like it?
I do like
it
because it gives agents a deadline. And I've seen too many times under the Oilers when they were negotiating into the season that we're writing about it. We're asking the players about it all the time. We're asking an agent, the general manager, and it's just a constant distraction. And like Brian said, he wants everything on football when football begins. And I think Clowney and McKinney was signed way. I think they'll be signed before training camp.
But, John, isn't that why you have an agent, so that if a conversation like this is taking place during the season, it's not a distraction to the players? I think saying that, you know, if we do this in season, it means it could potentially – subtract from the focus of our players, I think that's selling those players a little short.
I don't.
Really?
No. I'm around them. I've talked to them off the record about contracts. So like, if there's a guy at another team that does it, I've just been through that too many times where, and it's not just the player. If the player, he wants to know what's going on, if he knows if they're talking and he can't get what he wants, the agent thinks it, and then the media asking about it all the time, asking the coach about it all the time, I just think is I agree. It's a distraction, and agents will drag it out forever if they can.
Well, I guess in a way it's a good thing because, like you said, it's not like they're not going to get
those
deals
deadline.
Done.
I've
they're
never seen a deal not get done because they didn't do it by the start of the season.
Here's a potentially different scenario. I think I know what the answer is going to be to this, but the guys we're talking about here, McKinney and Clowney, are both guys who have a year left on their deal who are at a stage in their careers where the Texans normally do contracts with guys. So we all kind of – I think we all kind of know how this story ends with both of these guys.
Exactly.
Another situation, though, John, let's pretend for a second that 8 games into his Texans career, Tyrann Mathieu looks like the old Tyrann Mathieu. Is that a different scenario, do you think, for Brian Gain? Could you see the Texans doing a long-term deal if it looks like, man, he's the honey badger again? Let's do something before he – let's not let him – I know they have the franchise tag they could use, but let's do something before he hits the market.
Then the next year, some guy in the last year of his contract says, I want to do it, and they say, we don't do it. Well, you did.
But,
just like Dwayne Brown did.
No,
well, you have done it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just – specifically because this is just a one-year deal for Tyrann. Yeah. It's like a one-year prove-it deal, and it's like a way of saying you proved it.
And then you do it after the season. I just think if you change your rules for one guy,
Pandora's
you're going to get another
box.
Guy stepping up.
Yeah.
I was told by two agents last year if they had redone Dwayne Brown, which was all Rick Smith, he wasn't going to do it. A couple other agents, they were going to try to get their guys done.
They were lurking in the weeds,
so,
huh?
What do you think the McKinney deal looks like? Is it going to be like Eric Kendricks' deal?
I have no idea. Aaron Wilson wrote a thing about that after Kendricks about what he thought because of the Kendricks deal McKinney could get, but I have no clue.
That better be the absolute ceiling. Like three-story loft ceilings.
$25 million guaranteed.
No, I know. 5 years, $50 million. Like, he's not as good as Kendricks, is my point. Like, McKinney's a nice player. Like, Kendricks is really good.
But O'Brien loves him some Bernhardrick McKinney.
He does. That's we set the over-under for Bernhardrick McKinney's contract the other day on the show. I did, because I'm the degenerate gambler on the show, at $8.5 million a year. Would you go over or under that?
Oh, gosh, I hadn't even looked to see what inside linebackers are making.
Well, Kendrick's got $10
million. He got $10 million, then I'd say he's going to get less than $10 million. He's not going to get $10 million a year.
Think he'll get over $8.5 million?
You know, last year, I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No worries.
Last year, I thought Bernhardrick, after he got 5 sacks the year before and had more sacks and tackles combined than any inside linebacker, that he would have as many or more. Well, problem was, he didn't have those guys healthy around him, and therefore he couldn't, like, sneak in and get a sack or beat somebody one-on-one. But if they're healthy now, then I look for him to bounce back and be a better pass rusher.
What position would you be most surprised to see them use draft capital on next week?
Left tackle?
No, most surprised.
Oh, most surprised.
Yeah, most surprised.
Let me think. In my mock draft, which was posted with Aaron Wilson's today, our ninth and our next to last, for the first time, I do not have them taking a tackle with the first pick in the third round. I haven't taken a running back.
Okay.
So that would shock me if they actually did that. But I just decided to be different.
It wouldn't shock me if they took a run. Like, it would shock me if they took an inside linebacker because of how deep they are at that position.
It'd shock me if they take anything other than a tackle or a tight end.
With the third round picks,
you're
saying?
With the first pick in the third round.
With the first pick in the third. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. With that, what is that, I guess, the 68th pick in the draft?
You know, they've got, yes. I'll have a story, let's see, going every pick that the Texans have in the third round, I've gone back and looked to see what other teams did with those picks.
Okay.
And including Greg Rajan did look this up, going back to the merger, and put the best one, top five at each of those picks.
Okay.
And then, so you can get guys that
sure.
are productive, and it's not out of the question. But boy, you got to be right. If you don't have your first two picks, you got to get at least two of those third rounders right.
What do you think the chances are that Brian Gain moves up into the second round? Is that one of those things that's just going to depend on the player?
I would
there?
Think a left tackle would have to drop down in the bottom 10 for him to do it. I'm sure he'd like to give up the low three and maybe a four,
yeah,
or a three and a six. He doesn't have a five, but I would say only if a left tackle's there.
That's the thing I would be most curious about. If there is a player who's not a left tackle who would push Brian Gain to move up in the, you know,
I'd
like
be
a tight end, like
if
a tight end that they had a high second round grade on fell right there,
yep,
because you're losing the opportunity cost of getting that left tackle and giving up draft picks to move up.
With Davenport, Henderson, and Kendall Lamb, you better take a left tackle.
You're probably right. Yep. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.